One of the most ubiquitous halachas that we have is the halacha of saying a bracha. And we say brachas, constantly saying brachas. And it's worthwhile to go through some of the halachas. Some of them are basic. I'm trying the things that you know already. I'm not going to necessarily repeat that much. Let's just clarify some points. The bracha, just talk about the concept of the bracha a little bit before we get involved in the halacha. We say bracha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech Yolam, and then we finish up our bracha, Berei Menei Mezona, Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro, etc. We make this bracha, bracha to Hashem. What does bracha to Hashem mean? What exactly does Hashem is blessed? What exactly does it mean that Hashem is blessed? It's confusing the language, what exactly it means. So actually, one of the early Rishonim, it's Rishonim at the same time as Rashi, lived in Spain, was one of the great grammarians. His name was Ravina Ibn Yanach. So Ravina Ibn Yanach and his Sefer, and the Radak and his Sefer, they both translate the word Baruch just means praise. Hashem is praised. So we're saying, basically, Hashem is praised for the fact that he's Shakol Ne'abi Baruch, he's Bremei Mezonis, etc. It's a very general statement of praise, and that's all it means according to his understanding. However, those who understand that specifically referring to the idea of the word Baruch means Hashem is the source of the praise. It's praise, but a specific praise. The praise is that Hashem is the source of all bracha. The fact that Hashem has created the myriad wonderful things that He has in this world for us to partake of, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us so many mitzvahs, and we use the praise. Hashem is praised by the fact that He is Baruch, He's the source of all bracha. That's the simplest understanding of what the word Baruch means. Chazal say that they ask a question that there seems to be a contradiction. One pasuk says that we say in Hallel, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, Va'orth Nasan Levin Adam, Shemayim belongs to Hashem, but the land has been given to Bnei Adam, to man. But there's another verse which says that Lashem Ha'oritz Moya, Hashem owns everything in the world. Lashem Ha'oritz to Hashem is the land and everything which is in it. So the Mor says, so which is it? Does it belong to us? Does it belong to Hashem? The Mor answers, before the bracha belongs to Hashem, after the bracha belongs to us. So through the process of giving a bracha to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're gaining the right to partake of this item, which we didn't have beforehand. So the Gemara actually says that if a person partakes of this world, everything belongs to Hashem, so it's whole, has a holiness to it. The person is partaking of something which has kedusha, has a holiness to it, without the proper rights to do so. Okay, there's the Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos says that at the time of David HaMelech, there was a plague, and people were dying, and for something that David HaMelech had done improperly, and he was looking for some way to stop this plague. And the Gemara says that he introduced the idea of saying 100 blessings a day. Now, halacha doesn't apply to women; are not chayav to do that. It's a time-bound mitzvah to say 100 brachas every day because it's time-bound by per day. So, women are not chayav in that concept. But the Gemara says that a person's yirshamayim, his fear of heaven, comes through saying those brachas every day. So, I mean, to picture it, the language of the brachas that we have was introduced by the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah, which was the Sanhedrin at the beginning of the Second Temple, by Hasheni. So David HaMelech is now, this is 500 years before that, there's no language of bracha. There's no standard text for any brachas. So it means 100 times a day a person would have to stop and think about something on his own and say, and give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had this item, or he had this ability, etc. So you can imagine the amount of Yerushalayim that added to the person. His awareness of Hashem was enhanced tremendously by the fact that 100 times a day he would have to, on his own, stop and say, how can I right now recognize the fact that Hashem has given me something special? So we live in the world of everything that comes to us already packaged, so we have the brachas already packaged for us. Mm-hmm. So that has the advantage. You don't have to figure out the language ourselves, but it has a disadvantage. You don't have that spontaneity of that personal emotion, but we have to try and find, when we make a bracha, that personal element of emotion that we make the bracha, we're feeling that feeling of thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving me whatever item is in front of us. So really, the person should really, the idea behind a bracha the halachic part, but the concept behind a bracha is it's a thank you. It can't be perfunctory. It has to be with thought. And that's a challenge, or one of the most biggest challenges I think many of us have, is to say brachas with the proper intent, the proper thought, and the proper emotion. Thank you, Hashem. Just to end up with what, you know, move on to the halachic concepts. I was sitting, my wife's uncle, Olav Shalom Zichron Livracha, was a person who went through Siberia during the war. And I remember we were sitting with him, this must have been in Yerushalayim, in 1989, we were sitting by his table, there was some of the family members were there, and they put a loaf of bread on the table, and he starts looking at the loaf of bread, he says, a laben broit, he said, spoken Yiddish, he says, a loaf of bread, who could dream of a loaf of bread? Now, he remembers in Siberia, who dreamt of a loaf of bread? Like, a loaf of bread was like, it was in your wildest dreams, you know, a piece of bread, a crust of bread, you know, a whole loaf of bread, who could dream of such a thing, you know, and we live in a world of such abundance and such bracha, that we don't appreciate, that's what the idea of bracha is, that forces us to stop and appreciate. Maybe one more story along those lines. My wife is telling me a story, when a lot of the Russian emigration, or immigration to America, immigration out of Russia, and instead of coming to America, so we were in Cleveland still, and there was a lot of people came from Russia, and they came to Cleveland. So one of my wife's friends took them shopping. They were going shopping, so they went to the grocery store, and they're walking down the aisles of the grocery store, and they're going out of their mind. Like in Russia, in the Russia that they lived in, there was nothing on the shelves in the supermarket. And they were just looking at these cans, they're taking cans off the shelf, you know, you can buy this thing. And the woman says, no, that's for the pets. And she looked at, like, these poor two Russian ladies looked at this woman, and it's like, what do you mean? And they realized there's a whole aisle on both sides, it's just food for animals. He says, you know, we didn't have anything on the shelves for human beings. You know, we try to appreciate what we have. If you walk into the abundance that we have, it's tremendous, and that's Hashem's bracha to us. And the way we're able to say thank you really is through a bracha. So it's a tremendous thing which we have, which is brachas. The Gemara actually says that a person, because of the importance of a bracha, so the person has to know the proper bracha to say. And you can't just rely on, you know, we have this wonderful thing in our repertoire called a shahakol. You know, just say shahakol, you're always yotze. You're not allowed to use that. You're not allowed to use that. That's, you know, if a person has responsibility to find out what the proper bracha is, actually the halacha is that if you don't know, you can't eat it. So you find out the proper, you can't, well, don't say shahakol. You cannot do that. You have to find out. You know, I've had the pleasure, I guess, of getting a phone call in the middle of, you know, at the middle of supper, and I know what the bracha, proper bracha is to say on the food. You know, so that's the right thing. He has to ask a shiloh. You can say a moitzi, and then you're doing that, so you can do that. But you cannot rely on shahakol lechatchila. The person really has responsibility to find out what the proper bracha is. Once I mentioned hamoitzi, I just want to mention a point. There is a difficult concept in halacha. We have to be careful with that. A person is not interested in eating bread. And they only wash and say amoitzi because this way they can relieve themselves from saying all the other brachas. It's very questionable in halacha whether it works. The logic behind it is if you're having a bread meal, everything else becomes secondary to the bread. You don't need to make a separate bracha on every other food. But really over here, you're not having a bread meal because you're not really interested in eating bread. You're really interested in having the chicken, everything, etc. But your goal is, I don't have to say a bracha on everything because this way, because I have the bread first. So it's very questionable in halacha if that actually works. So a person should not find themselves in that situation. I actually have this issue. Some schools have a policy that they want that everybody should wash for lunch. This way everybody has to, you know, this way everybody, they know everybody benches together. We know everybody said a bracha achrona. So if a person, the kid's not really interested in eating bread, just because that's what the rabbi said they had to do, or the rabbi said they have to do, it's not clear in halacha that fulfills the bracha of saying a bracha b'rishona on all of the food. The worst part about over there is they eat less than a kazayas. A lot of kids, okay, they have what they call the poke, right? You know, so they poke out a piece of bread or they take a little piece of bread. If it's less than a kazayas, less than the amount that you have to eat, it's also very questionable halacha whether all the food becomes secondary to it. And therefore, you again have a big question on your brachas risharnas. And if you need a kazayas, you definitely can't bench. So that policy has some advantages, but it has a lot of disadvantages. Dangerous, it's a difficult issue. So it's better not to get involved in that type of situation. Also, if a person is, he only eats less than a kazayas of bread, so he has to say hamotzi, but you don't say bracha al tisadayim when you wash your hands. So al tisadayim in that situation will be a bracha levatola, it would be a bracha which has no purpose. So when, if that's the policy that you would have with your kids, and you know, everybody has to wash, you have to make sure they eat a kazayas, otherwise you're training them to say bracha levatola. That's not a great idea either. So in chinuch wise, there are challenges with that approach. Okay, that was just an aside. You mentioned that issue. It's an important issue to be aware of. Okay, so there's a lot. So the concept of the law called bracha levatola, that a person should not say a bracha which is in vain, which is not really saying a bracha on the food. So bracha levatola can mean the person already said a bracha, so he's repeating himself improperly. Person said hamoitzi and then makes a bracha on one of the foods which wasn't necessary. So that's bracha levatola. Person says a bracha and they interrupt before they eat with something which would constitute a halachic interruption. So some things b'di'evad, you know, are not a problem, but some things are. A person would say a bracha and then speak before they eat. So that's a problem. If a person says a bracha and they speak, they say a bracha and they start chewing and they have not swallowed yet. So, and then they start talking before they've swallowed. So that's a very big discussion in halacha. Most places hold it's not acceptable. But since there are some would say that it's acceptable, we don't go back and make another bracha. But a person should be very careful not to start talking until they've swallowed. On the topic of interruption, there are some interruptions which, after, you know, b'di'evad, after the fact, they're not going to constitute a status of a hefsek of interruption which you would require another bracha, but you shouldn't do them. A person should not gesture, a person should not pause between the bracha and eating. So you have a situation like, you know, we've had the scenario, so you're saying a bracha, and then your husband comes in, and you're saying a bracha, and your wife comes in, you know, and they're looking for something, and you point to what they're looking for in between the bracha and the eating. So that's wrong. You should eat, swallow, and then point. So because you're interrupting between the bracha and doing something else. Yeah.
What if you say a bracha and then the food is too hot?
You should blow on it first.
it's
a problem,
a very
right?
Hot cup of coffee. Didn't realize it was as hot as it was, and you say a bracha and then.
Yeah, make sure you take a quick sip or something, at least a little bit something.
Because should you like walk across the room and like take a sip of water?
That's a problem, you know, depending on what your intent was. That's an intent issue, which we have to talk about. Whether you had, if you had water on the table and you planned to have water besides, so that bracha really went on both, you could do that. If you had no intention to have any water, having a cup of water won't help you.
Right. So what would you do if it was like? Can you blow on it for a little bit and then drink it?
You can, but that's not the preferred would be that you should blow on it first. You should test it beforehand in order to minimize any type of interruption. Right.
So,
a person should be. No, it's something to be aware of. It's a good point. It's something to be aware of.
And with the gesturing, like at the Shabbos table, let's say you forgot the salt or the knife.
So the something which is needed for the bracha is permitted. It's not preferred. I mean, the person should try and get the salt beforehand. But over that would not be considered an interruption. Okay. A person, when they make a bracha, they should hold the item in their hands, in their right hand, preferably. There's a discussion of a person's a lefty, whether for them the left hand is the correct hand. We use the word right hand because that's confusing. If the left hand is the correct hand, or even for them, the you're showing respect in the general way by holding it with your right hand would be the right hand. It seems to me that is correct. It should be with the right hand no matter what. Person should have their mouth. There should be nothing in their mouth when they're making a bracha. Chewing gum, whatever it is, you wouldn't have it in your mouth when you're making the bracha. If a person by mistake started eating without making a bracha, so you have the food in your mouth already. So what should you do? So if it's something which is not considered, does not become disgusting, except by that it's been in your mouth, you take it out and you make the bracha. If it's something which you move it to the side of your mouth and you make the bracha. That's the one exception where you say you make a bracha even with having something in your mouth. It, saying the bracha properly. So one of the challenges, yeah.
Just going back for a second, if you're cooking, like for Shabbos, and right. you're tasting food, but you don't have the intent of eating it, do you have to make a bracha on
it? If you're tasting and not swallowing, you do not need to make a bracha.
Okay, so what I mean, what if it's not like you taste like a little like soup or something? You're not tasting to eat it, but maybe you swallow some of it.
If you're not planning to swallow it, something goes down. It's not a problem. If you're planning to swallow it, then you should make a bracha. Hashem's name. So a few points about the Shem Hashem, because the main part of the bracha obviously is praising Hashem. We're saying Hashem's name. Number one in halacha, the definition of Hashem's name is the thought you're supposed to have when you say Hashem's name is Baruch to Hashem, is Hashem is the master of everything. Adon HaKol, the master of all. Which is weak, because we pronounce Hashem's name with the word of Adnus, of Hashem is the master. So the thought is that Hashem is Adon HaKol.
Even for Elokeinu?
Elokeinu, actually, it's a good question. See, the correct thought that the Shulchan Aruch says for the word Elokeinu is a little bit more. A little longer, and therefore I'm going to tell you what it says. I'm going to tell you Ramosha's suggestion how to make it a little bit easier. The Shulchan Aruch says that the correct thought a person has when we think Hashem is Elokeinu is that He is the powerful one who is the master of everything, who has all of the power in the world belongs to Him, and He is our God. That's the full thought of Elokeinu. So that every time you say the word Elokeinu, you're supposed to have that thought in mind. Takif, Bal Yecharlus, Bal HaKachos Kolom. He's the source of all power in the world. And He's Elokeinu, He is our God. So Ramosha says that when you think our God, the word God contains all those thoughts in it. Because that's what God means to us. It means that He's all powerful, that He's the source of everything. And so think our God would be sufficient. So if you want to do it in the preferred way, you would have that whole thought, but our God is sufficient. Pronouncing it properly. One of the issues, which you know, that the correct pronunciation of Hashem's name, we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So we pronounce it with it's supposed to be pronounced with the second part is a patach. The second part is a cholom, is an O sound. And some people if they rush it quickly, it sounds more like an I sound or an E sound or I don't know what type of sound, but it doesn't sound like Hashem's name. So a person should be aware that you know that the correct way to say Hashem's name is Ado, not Adi. I've over the years, the Mishnah Berurah points out a few times this point, and if you listen to people I've heard quite respectable people pronounce it incorrectly, and it's something to be aware of. Okay. We're about to there will be a second part of the shiur that's going to be in sometime in June. Just the way it worked out, it's going to be a little bit of a lapse in between. So the topic, which is maybe the hotter topic of the hamotzi issues, what you say, hamotzian and pizza and all the type of things, etc., that'll be in the next shiur. So this way you have to come back for the second shiur. Okay. One of the areas which I want to try and focus on tonight is the halachas of ikar and tefil, the primary foods and secondary foods, so you have which has a lot of applications. I just want to give you an example of an application where it applies. So we know very clearly there are certain brachas that you take an apple, the bracha is berei pri ha'etz. That's not, you don't need a shear for that, right? We know that if a person takes a potato, it's a machloikas, we pass him the bracha zadoma. There's someone opinion says the bracha shahakal because it doesn't really grow; it grows under the ground. But okay, we make a bracha brepi adam. When you have getting mixtures together, things get much more complicated. So the Hilchos Brachos site called Berachot site. That's the name of the site called Berachot site on the computer, and they have bracha on snack bars. Okay. So there's nowadays the big thing, they have these energy bars, the protein bars, etc. So at the beginning of the halacha, it gives you the following six examples, and we'll explain why. So Cliff's original energy bar is the bracha zadoma. The bracha on builder's bars made by Cliff is shahakol. Granola bars are mazonos. Energy chocolate chip snack bar is shahakol. And chocolate chip nugo dark bar is shahakol. They're all energy bars. And you have four different brachas on them. You know, it's like, you know, that's, you know, three different brachas. Adama, Mazarnas, or Shehakol. What makes a difference? They're all energy bars, right? So, you know, you just, you know, there's, again, there's, so the answer is, depending on the primary, the primacy of different ingredients, how it's made, etc. So there's a lot of awareness which you need. You, you know, somebody tells you, well, the brachan energy bar is whatever, you say, well, it depends. Okay, so there's a concept of halacha known as ikar and tafel. The ikar is the primary food, and tafel is the secondary food. And the halacha is that you make a bracha on the ikar and not the tafel. You make a bracha on the primary food and not the secondary food. Just to clarify that point, it doesn't mean you didn't make a bracha on the secondary food. So a person has cereal and milk. So for most people, we'll assume that the main thing is the cereal and not the milk. So you make a bracha on the mazonos, on the Cheerios, and that covers your milk also. Now you finish all the Cheerios, there's some milk left in the bowl. So now what do you do? So you can't drink milk without having making a bracha on it. No, you don't make a bracha at that point in time, because the bracha of the mazonos that you made on the Cheerios covered the milk also. The bracha on the milk was mazonos. So if I ask you a riddle, when is it possible that the correct bracha on milk is mazonos? The answer is when it's mixed with Cheerios. Yes?
So the ikar is dependent on what you want more?
The ikar is dependent on what you want.
What there is more of?
That's a loaded question. Let me see if I can answer the question. So let's go back to the cereal and milk scenario. Okay, so most people, as I said, most people, their purpose is that they want to have the cereal, and the milk is there to enhance the cereal. So the milk comes out as an enhancer, it's definitely secondary, etc. Let's say a person is on a high calcium diet. The doctor told them they have to have a lot of milk. So their goal with eating cereal and milk is to have the cereal, because they want the cereal, but they also want the milk. So the goal of the milk is not to be just an enhancer, then it requires two brachas. In that situation, the milk is not coming there to be enhanced. Even if in that situation, the majority would be the cereal, but since you have a specific intent for the other part, specifically separate as his own independent food, so you would require two brachas in that situation. Yes?
Is that the same if, like, a child puts more milk in the cereal because they like to drink this sugary milk after?
Right.
Say a bracha also on the milk.
Right. So if the goal over there is the milk, so then the milk is not just there to enhance the cereal.
So you say that bracha in the beginning, or you say it when you get to the milk at the end?
You say it the bracha. You should say it in the beginning.
You should say it after the
beginning.
So
right.
Like a bite of cereal. You say like the mazono and you eat the cereal.
So actually, it's one of those interesting riddles. We know that the order of brachas, mazonos goes before a shahakel. In that situation, it's better to take some milk and make the shahakel first, and then make the mazono second. That's how it's preferred to do in a local. The why is not for now. Yeah.
would it be better to make a shekel in the glass of orange juice you have instead of even touching the milk?
If you have something else available, that would be better, yeah.
And then what order would you make it then?
I would probably say the shahaka would go first in that situation. Also. Yeah. Somebody else had their hand up. Okay. So the point I'm saying, getting back to the point we're saying, is that the idea is the bracha that you say is not just on the main part of the food, it's on all the food. But we look at the secondary food as being part of the other food, and therefore the bracha goes on everything. And the bracha that you said, the mazonos, goes on the milk also. When foods are cooked together, so if the foods are cooked together and they become a mass and it's not really distinct, so then we normally follow the majority food. Right? So even if they're distinct, but in each spoonful you're going to get a little bit of everything. So a person makes a chol and they cut their pieces. So there's barley and there's small pieces of meat and there's small pieces of potato. So in any spoonful you're going to get all of those food together. So then the bracha would be based on something which would be whatever the ikar is. We'll see what that is in a second. However, if it's large pieces, like you're going to stab the potato and eat the potato independently of the milk, the meat, or the barley, so the potato gets its own bracha in that situation. See, you know, and the pieces of meat are large. You eat a piece of meat independently from everything else, and that's how you eat it. That's how it's made to eat. It's large pieces. That's how you make your cholent. That's how you make your stew. A person makes a stew, makes a goulash, or not a cholent, they make a stew, and there's large pieces of meat, large pieces of potatoes, and you eat them each one independently, so there's no ikar and tuffel over there. Each one is separate, and we can be two different brachas, the meat and the potatoes will be separate. The Chazal did throw in the following halacha, that mazonos always has a status of an ikar. So in that situation where I have my cholent and I'm going to have big pieces of potatoes and big pieces of meat and little barley, which like always comes along for the ride together with the meat or the potatoes, the barley does not become secondary. So you make a bracha for mazonos on the barley and a bracha for the shahakal or adama for the other foods also. So in general, in most cases, mazonos is going to be either the ikur or one of the ikur. Yes.
Schnitzel.
We'll hopefully get the schnitzel. Okay. There are a few exceptions to this rule. Let's talk about this concept that mazonos takes a priority. So there's some cases which are fairly easy. A person making a cake, you know. So the correct broken cake is mazonos. You know, there's a lot of sugar in there. There's a lot of oil in there. There's a lot of spices in there. Maybe if you add up the majority, it might even be some brownie recipes. I think the majority is not the mazonos, right? But still, the bracha is mazonos. It's mixed together. It's cooked together, and it's all becomes one mass. And the flour is definitely is there for flavor, etc. So that the bracha is mazonos, even if it's not the majority. That's because it's cooked and baked together, right? Let's say I have a situation where I'm cooking and baking something together and there's mazonos in it, but it's there just to be an enhancer. So a person is making meatballs, right? So you add some matzah melt to the meatballs to give it a little more as a binding agent, or as to give a little more substance, etc. So if your goal is not flavor, and your goal is not flavor, and your goal is not aroma, right? You're not interested in the tasting of the mazonos. You're not interested in, right? That's not your goal. Your goal is just you ignore the mazonos. So that's one exception to the rule, that you ignore the flour, ignore the matzah meal, you ignore in that situation, and you just make it. So this is a common issue when you get these serial brachas lists, you know, from the Star K has one and the OU has one, and you know, etc. And you know, you read the correct bracha for this type of cereal is a shahakal. You open the box and read the ingredients and it says oats. So if it says oats, why is the bracha shahakal? Right? So the answer is that if the reason why the oat flour is there is as a binding agent or thickening agent, but not for flavor, etc., so then it's going to become secondary. The rule of thumb, I think, that a person in Sarkay told me is that they assume it's less than 25%. Usually, it's not. You don't taste it, and it's probably there for thickening or binding, and that's the rule of thumb. Because it's hard to know, well, what exactly does the person have in mind when they're eating, you know, their super sweetened, you know, super sugared sweetened poppy crisps, you know, like, you know, what are they having in mind? Are they thinking for the oat flour, for the, you know, I don't know. We assume that less than 25% of the food, then it's considered it's there just for, as a thickening agent or binding agent, and we ignore it.
If you have something that's made from challah. Like, so it, in its original form, it was mozi, and then you take it, like, let's say you're making like a challah kugel, like you're reconstituting the challah, but it's still 90% challah. Does that become mazonos when you eat it?
So that's a good question. I was planning to cover that in the next year. When that happens, just the basic rule of thumb is, if the pieces are less than a kazayas.
Well, if it, like.
No, each piece you put it in,
like
right?
You cut
them in. You pull your pieces apart. You throw them in. Make sure that there's no piece which is larger than a kazayas. Which usually you do that. You know, unless the person making like, you know, it's industrial size challah kugels. You know, they're just throwing big pieces. I remember we had in yeshiva. They used to make a challah kugel once every few weeks, and all the leftover challah. We were so excited when we got it. So the pieces sometimes were quite large. A rule of thumb about the size of a kazayas. Just, you know, talk about, you know, the person has to eat a kazayas of bread to be yotzei the mitzvah, etc. The sheer size, if you picture your Jewish 2-pound loaf of rye bread from the bakery, take a slice from the middle of the loaf, cut it in half, that's a kazayas.
In volume or?
The volume. Uh-huh. The volume. So that's the size, about of a kazayas. So, which is, you know, and people give these matzahs, kazayasim, which are like a lot, seem like a lot larger than that. But okay, well, that's a different shear. But so it's not so big. But, you know, you make sure that the pieces, if the pieces are less than that and they've been cooked, not baked, but they've been cooked or soaked in water, they lose their bracha of hamotzin, become mazanas. That's a simple answer. There's more details, so that's the basic answer. If it's a kazayis of bread almost indestructible, it remains bread. So you can cook it and you can soak it and you can already want the still hamotzi. So if you want to change it down to less, make sure it's less than a kazayis, and then it gets much easier to change its halachic status. Okay. Okay, so you spoke of cholam of barley. Okay, let's say another example of this: large pieces and small pieces. Move away from mazonos for a second. Fruit cocktail. So the fruit cocktail has some pieces of some type of fruit, which is eights, peaches and pears, apples, whatever it is. And there's also some bananas and some pineapples in the fruit cocktail. So if it's smaller pieces, it means in any given spoonful, you're going to get a little bit of everything. So then the correct bracha is whatever the majority is. If, however, it's the large pieces, you're going to get one at a time, and you stab one thing, your fork and eat it, etc., each one will get its own distinct bracha. So it's the same idea as we have by the case of the cholins.
There's two brachas, though. You're not making one bracha on every eighth and every...
Right, like any time you have a whole you make one bracha for the first time you have it, and you continue with that. In regards to which bracha you make first, ha'etz or adama, I don't know about you. I grew up with we were told you're supposed to make ha'etz first, right? It's not clear in halacha that that's true. It's actually very not clear in halacha that that's true, that they're required to make ha'etz first. And a situation where a person enjoys the hadama more. They like the Adama fruit better than the Eitz fruit. Right? For them, that's the more chaviv. I would suggest that you make the Hadama fruit bracha first, not just in order to be iconoclast and be a little bit different. Okay. Okay. Person's having soup, chicken soup, and they're putting in some mandels, soup mandels in there, soup nuts. Person's breaking up crackers and putting it into a salad. So in that situation, so clearly the soup is not secondary to the, I mean, except you have a little kid, you know, which like, you know, it's like, you know, there's like oodles and oodles and oodles of mandels, and there's a little bit of soup there just as the vehicle to have the excuse to have the mandels, right? So then the bracha is mazonos. But an average person, an average adult, who is not a child anymore, or at least wants to pretend they're not a child anymore, there'll be two separate brachas. A bracha on the soup mandels, on the soup croutons would be a mazarnas, and you'd make a shahakal on the soup. Chicken soup has vegetables and it has other things in it. So unless you have a tremendous amount of vegetables and your goal really is the vegetables, the correct bracha is just a shahakal. A person is making the soup and they're specifically eating the soup because they want to have all these vegetables. The way for them to eat the vegetables, you have one kid, the only way to get to eat the vegetables is by putting in the chicken soup. So your real goal over there is vegetables, not chicken soup. So for him, the correct bracha would be, you have to make a bracha on the vegetables. All right, but the average scenario, you're making a shahakal on the soup. On the salad, right? So the mazonos over there is you can taste it. It's not like the case of the mazonos in the cereal, which you don't taste it at all. So over there, it will not be, it's not primary, so the correct bracha on the salad is adama on the salad. You still have to make a mazonos on the crackers or the mandels, the croutons, whatever it is, separately. Talking about that, topic to topic, the correct bracha on bread croutons in the salad. So commercial croutons, the correct bracha is a mazonos. Because they're made to be not to be bread, they're made to be croutons. The croutons are not made to function as bread. You don't eat them for a meal. You use them as part of a snack, etc. If you make homemade croutons, you take some old bread challah, you cut it up, and you toast it, and that the bracha remains hamotzi. So the correct bracha in that situation would be hamotzi on the croutons. So,
sorry, yeah. In the salad, the croutons, would you make the mazonos first?
Normally we assume the mazonos should be said first.
Yeah. massage.
Should be said first. Yeah.
Even if it's the tefillah?
Correct. So I once read this interesting halacha. Talks about, you know, if the soup is there to enhance the knedels. I never knew what that meant until I had the following experience. I was in New York, you know, visiting one of my talmidim. He says, "Rebbe, I'll take you out to dinner." I said, "Fine, no problem." He says, "I ordered, you know, chicken soup with a knedel," and they had this knedel with a cassava. And I says, "Now I understand that halacha. What it means that the soup is there to enhance the knedel. What is it like? Why is knedels? The soup is in there to enhance the knedel. You know, there's a soup and there's a knedel. But if you ever had a scenario, you know, the bowl is basically knedel with a little bit of soup just to moisten it. So then the bracha would just be mezarnis. But the average case, you make two brachas. Ice cream sandwiches. So, general a sandwich type of a situation. You know, you're making you take a cracker and you put some tuna fish on top of the cracker, put another cracker on top, rice cakes, something like that. So what's the correct bracha? The correct bracha on rice cakes is a domo, and the tuna in the middle or whatever you're putting on top, the cheese on top, the correct bracha would be a shahako. See, if you're, there is, it's two distinct things. You don't look at which one's larger, which one's smaller. You do look at the idea of enhancing, though. If I like to flavor a cracker, and I like a little tuna with my crackers to enhance the flavor of the crackers, then the bracha would just be mezarnis. If I like, I actually like the tuna, and my goal is to eat the tuna, so then there'd be two brachas, because again, the flavor of the mezarnis is still, always, mezarnis is always significant. Let's say it's a rice cake, where it's not a mezonis, it's a adama, right? So the correct bracha on the rice cake is a adama. Now, really, my main thing is to have the tuna, and the rice cake is there just more to facilitate having the tuna. You'll make a bracha on the tuna, and the rice cake will go with it.
Mezonis, you do?
Mezonis, you have to make two brachas. Right. So I get some ice cream sandwich. So if my favorite part of the ice cream sandwich is the waffle part, is the sandwich part, and the ice cream is there just to enhance it, you make one bracha, you make a mezonos. If I like the ice cream, besides you make two brachas. You make a bracha on the mezonos and a bracha on the ice cream. You make a shahako on the ice cream besides.
But,
yeah.
Would it be better before you make the sandwich to eat a small piece of cracker and a small piece of tuna?
You could do that.
And then put it together?
That would. Is it better? Probably better, yeah. Yeah.
Certain Bachel's books call rice and rice cakes
mezonos. Okay, so it is a machlokes, and if you go with the way I understand them, the correct bracha on them which should be a dhamma. Mm-hmm. It gets involved the question, the puffed wheat question, the puffed rice question, the same, you know, those type of cereals which are puffed wheat and puffed rice is the same problem. Granola bars are the same problem. All of them, it's you're changing it, but you're not changing it through liquid. You're changing it through heat. It's a roasting process. It's a puffing heat. It's a very hot popping process. It's how you make it. Then you press them together. So all that is that change its status from the hadoma to mezonos or not. This is a big ongoing. Well, I hold the correct bracha on granola bars as hadoma. Star K will tell you that's a mezonos.
Okay. So those multigrain like puff. Things that look like the rice cakes, but they're multigrain
like wheat. I stay away from them because they're a bracha's nightmare. And I'll tell you why they're a bracha's nightmare, because actually there's a din in Shulchan Aruch which says that he advises only to eat them during the meal, because if there are other grains, we know that the bracha achrona for most foods is brei nefashos. For the seven species that Eretz Yisrael has been praised with, the correct bracha is what's called Me'en Gimel, Alamichya, or Alagefen, or Alha'etz. So halacha raises the question, if I take wheat kernels, and I eat that, and I roast that, so that's clear in halacha, but just take a wheat kernel, just as we're calling it roast, so the bracha is Adama. What's the bracha achoran on a wheat kernel? Brei nefashos, right? Well, it's not Alamichya, because it's not a mezonos. You only make an alamichya something which is a mezonos. So Tosfos says the correct bracha is alo adama val pri adama val tuna vasasadet. You never heard that bracha before in your life, right? So, but that's Tosfos. That's because it's one of the seven species. It's wheat, so she got a special bracha at the end. But it's not alamichya because it's not a mezonos. So the correct bracha is alo adama. So that's what should be. But because of this question, you should only eat it during a meal. Not get involved in what to do for bracha achrona.
Okay.
So the Star K has the following suggestion. Because they hold because of this question, what to do with the bracha achorna on granola bars, the suggestion is eat less of the kazayis b'dayfilas pras. Mm-hmm. So they've calculated out Nature Valley. Nature in the granola bars, one bar and a quarter is a kazayis. So you eat one bar at a time, wait 5 minutes, and then there's no bracha achorna on it. Mm-hmm. So you need a kazayis within a lot of time, so then you won't have an issue. That's how they suggest to get away from that problem.
Good old-fashioned green Nature Valley bars.
Yeah, so you know, usually pack comes with two of them inside.
Right, yeah.
Eat one, wait 5 minutes, eat the second one, you have no bracha achorna, and you have no shadow what to say.
Evan, what
bracha
are you making on that?
I say a hadama, they say a mazonos.
But cooked rice is still mazonos.
Rice is mazonos.
Okay.
Cooking with water binds the rice together. Mm-hmm. It takes some of the binding agent which is there makes it into a mass that clearly makes it into mazonos. So farina, your oatmeal, all those, there's no question that those are mazonos.
But you still say farina freshos at the end, right, for cooked rice?
For rice, because bracha for rice is a brand of freshos.
But different sort of things. I don't know. I was with a couple people kabbad and they had a different bracha on rice, and I never really learned it or remembered to ask the question, so I didn't know. I think they said
Adama. I'm not sure. There is an opinion in Halacha that the correct bracha on rice is Adama, in general. Right? You know, the Gemara says a certain food stuff, and you know, we're assuming that means rice. That's a big. There is Machlokes Rishonim about it, what it means. But that's a standard in Halacha. It could be Bechavad differently. I'm not familiar.
If you're eating a sandwich, that the outside and the filling are both the same bracha, when you say the bracha, do you have it in mind for both things?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's automatic. The front of your panadi, that's automatic. That's what you have intent, right?
The wheat berries. You know the wheat berries that people sometimes put in cholam, but they make salads out of them sometimes.
I'm not sure exactly what it is. I've never researched exactly what it is. I don't know how to answer the question. Okay, so ice cream sandwiches, fine. Let's say a person takes a rice cake and they melt cheese on it. In other words, they put it on the top, they put it into the toaster oven, and they melt it together. So the tiller, we're talking about a case where you didn't cook it together, you didn't do anything together, it's two distinct items, and it gets two, right? So then over there it becomes one bracha. And you have to decide in that situation, because you've baked it together, if that becomes one unit, one item, you have to decide what is the primary food to you, and that would be the bracha. Okay, let's move on to schnitzel, the fried fish. So that's clear in a lot of a person takes a little bit, puts a little of mazonos on the food, that shouldn't stick to the pan. Then that's equivalent in a loch of binding agent, thickening agent. You put some flour, put some matzah meal on the thing, and it shouldn't stick to the pan. That's your whole goal. So that's no shayla in a loch. That's ignored. That's clearly secondary. Let's say you have a thin coating on it, but you know it's there for flavor. But it's baked together, and clearly it's a fried fish or it's a fried chicken. So if it's a thin layer, the correct bracha would be the primary bracha of the food, the shahakal on the fish or the chicken. If it's a thick layer, then the bracha would definitely be a mazonos. Now the question: do you need to make two brachas or not? Many persons say you just make a mazonos in that situation. So, and when's the correct bracha on chicken? And mazonos, the answer is when it's it's fried with a thick coating of mazonos on it. Yeah.
What's considered a thick layer?
I don't know.
Like you coat it, is like just coating it with breadcrumbs, that be considered thick or thin?
Just one layer, just like a thin layer. I don't think it's again. If it's, they have to find breadcrumbs. There's different companies have different sized breadcrumbs. You know, some breadcrumbs are like big pieces. So I would say it's thick. But yeah.
What if you use cornflake crumbs, which would be maybe some cornflakes aren't. Is it just shehakel at that point?
Because
it's like.
So cornflakes actually if you look at your bracha's charts, they'll tell you some cornflakes are adama, some cornflakes are shehakel. Mm-hmm. Depends how it's made. Mm-hmm. So Kellogg's cornflakes are adama, based on how they're made. So Kellogg's cornflake crumbs are also adama. Mm-hmm. If a person would decide to eat Kellogg's cornflakes crumbs, you know, just, you know, have a snack of cornflake crumbs, you make adama on that. But if you put them, I would believe in most situations that that's clearly it's a tofu, okay, to the main food.
What about a coating of nuts?
Coating of
nuts.
Also, that'd be something along the lines of the cornflake crumbs. I think it'd be secondary, unless, you know, a person that really is a nut freak. You know, their main goal is the nuts, not the fish. Yeah. Okay.
So the issue here with the schnitzel is because it's Mizonos specifically, and Mizonos is,
I think so,
almost never
different. Right. It doesn't become secondary.
Here's a question. So if your intent is both, I often have ground nuts with either tofu or farmer's cheese. So if I'm intending for both, so I say two?
If it becomes a real mixture, you really mix it together.
Yeah.
So then you make one bracha. But if it's going to be distinct, you would make separate brachas.
So how do I decide which one to say the bracha on?
Usually whatever the majority is.
By weight?
By volume.
By volume? What if I'm measuring by weight?
Okay, I don't know. You know, you can tell which one seems, you know, it seems to the eye is more. You know, that would be cheesecake. Shavuos is coming up. To many people, the main thing is the cheese and not the cake. Or, you know, if there's a thin, say if it's a very thin layer, if it's a, you know, a significant layer of mezonos on the bottom, so the definitely bracha is there, is the bracha is mezonos, unless you bedafka, and over there you baked it together. So that's different than an ice cream sandwich situation. So if you want the mezonos, even though you want the ice cream also, since you baked it together, so if the layer of mezonos is significant, so the bracha is mezonos. Am I clear? Let's say it's a very thin layer of mezonos, just basically to hold the ice cream in, so then the bracha would not be mezonos. The bracha would be shahaku. Yeah?
If you're not sure, is it wrong to say both?
It would be wrong to say both. You should be best thing to do, if you want to do that on other items, but not on that. Because that's the suffix bracha, what the correct bracha is.
What's the safest bracha in that situation?
If you're not sure?
What's considered a thick layer of mezonos on the bottom?
You know, you pull out your trusty Shabbos phone and you call the Rav, your halachically valid Shabbos phone, right? You know, and you ask him. You send them a picture, right?
Right. What about the ones like that you get at the store? Like, would that be considered a thick layer? You know, the ready made crust, like the grand crust.
I think those that's thick enough. That's thick enough. Yeah.
Okay, so that's like something measured.
Okay. Similar type of idea is the bracha of hamotzi covers, when a person says hamotzi, so they cover the foods in the meal. That halacha that it covers the foods in the meal is anything which is a meal-like food. So a person eats, well, we eat with meat, fish, chicken, vegetables. These are things a person, many times, you know, cooked vegetables for sure, a person that has them as part of a meal. These are meal foods, so the bracha of hamotzi covers all those things. Something which in general is eaten more like a snack-like food, a fruit. So fruit, the bracha of hamotzi does not cover fruits. So a person just wants to have an apple in the middle of the meal, you still stay a brave period.
Like an apple kugel would be covered.
Apple kugel is mezonos, really. Right. Okay. Right. Because it's a kugel, though. Person has at the end of the meal, they serve like these candy dishes. So you make a shahakal on the candy, even though you said a motzi at the beginning of the meal. Yes?
So if you're having a meal and you can't have, for medical reasons, I generally don't have, except for Shabbos, a motzi. So if I'm mixing a meat with veggies and there's a lot of both, and I'm really intending both because I'm required.
So if they're large enough that you eat them separately, in other words, you'll have a bite of meat, a bite of vegetable, so it's two distinct items, and you're eating them separately, so you make two different brachas. If you eat them together, they're small enough that each, so then you'd go by majority.
So at the end of the meal, if you serve fruit, you say a bracha.
Correct.
But what if, like, you make a hamotzi and you serve as the first course, like a shem bracha, something that's a fruit cup.
Okay, so I was going to get there. Let me hold the question for a second. So fruit is this complicated question, because what to do with it, because let's say a person makes a meal out of fruit. The meal is they wash, and they have a fruit platter, and then they have a dessert, and they bench. So in that situation, the fruit is the meal, then you not make a bracha on the fruit. It's the meal. It's the course. So that you don't make a bracha on that situation. There's one opinion that you should have at least the first bite with bread to indicate that it's the meal, but make your din, that's sufficient. Let's say it's one of the courses, but it's not the course. It's a course, not the course. So that gets more complicated. So many places can hold the situation that would need to require its own bracha. If you eat the first bite and the last bite with bread, it does not require a bracha. Something which is eaten as an appetizer. Now, luckily, an appetizer is something which, there's certain types of food which actually really start the process of digestion going, etc., in halacha. It's like a grapefruit. So grapefruit, if you eat it for that purpose, so there's no, it's part of the meal, it does not require bracha. Melons and other types of food like that, which are not like that, or a fruit cup, which is not a grapefruit, is questionable in halacha what the proper thing to do is. It's a machlokes. And therefore the best suggestion in halacha, which you probably, also sounds pretty strange, is before you wash, is to take a bite, eat less than a kazayas, make a bracha on the fruit beforehand.
So then, in order to prevent large groups of people from messing up massively, should you just not do that?
That's an interesting question.
Because if it's that complicated, and most people probably don't know that, maybe you shouldn't serve fruit for an appetizer.
I never thought about that. I don't know. That's an interesting question.
So you could say, you would say a bracha on the fruit, special if it's
right, but since you're serving as the first course, and technically there's such a concept as an appetizer, but halakhically does not meet the full requirement of an appetizer, so it's questionable what to do with it.
So it's considered really a course. And
so, so you, the best thing to do is, now if you eat a kazayas beforehand, you have a big headache with the bracha achrona. So don't eat a kazayas beforehand. Take a little bite beforehand, and that's it. Or alternatively, what you could do is you could put a fresh apple on the table, and make a bracha on the apple. That's clearly would require its own bracha, and then that'll cover your fruit cup.
You're making kiddush. You gave everyone a little piece of cantaloupe on their plate, right? And then you're going to make hamotzi, and then everybody's going to eat their cantaloupe or whatever right. It is. You're saying people should eat.
Take a little bite of it.
But they haven't made kiddush and hamotzi yet.
No, they said kiddush first.
You're supposed to have kiddush first, eat a little bit of their melon, and then go wash.
Right.
So if you're having 30 people for a meal, you have to tell everybody to have a little piece of cantaloupe first.
And if you're having 40 people, everybody, they also do the same thing. Yeah.
Serve gefilte fish.
You can play for kiddush, tell us, or something like that.
Okay.
Wait, sorry. Something you said in passing then, through a question. If you're at a kiddush and you, or if you made kiddush and then you eat a mezonos with the kiddush and then you're washing for the meal, do you need to make a bracha
achrona? Okay, that's a complicated. That's for next year. Okay, that's a next year issue.
You said to eat an apple, right? You make a bracha on your apple,
right?
Right, but you've washed. Like, I guess that's the same question. You make bracha achrona, or no? Your benching is going to cover.
The benching will cover the bracha achrona.
Okay, so you're saying the ha'etz on that little piece of the melon.
Well, melon be a doma, but right,
whatever,
right,
yeah.
Right. Correct.
Okay.
One second. Okay. Bray Priya Goffin. So the same way we have this idea that we have an ikur and tuffel, you eat two things together as ikur and tuffel. Bread becomes the mainstay of the meal, everything. There's also the same idea when it comes to Bray Priya Goffin. Bray Priya Goffin is the primary bracha on liquids, and it covers other liquids. So a person goes to a kiddush and they say Bray Priya Goffin and they drink some wine or grape juice. They do not make a bracha shahakal on the soda that they drink afterwards. Bray Priya Goffin covers the soda, and the bracha of Alagefen at the end covers the bread of fashis on the soda.
Just for liquids.
For liquid, just for liquids. There is, however, a question. Is that if the amount of if you just drink a little drop of of wine or grape juice, less than what's called mother lugma. Mother lugma is about an ounce and a half. If you drink less than an ounce and a half of that, it becomes questionable what you do with the bracha rishona of the other liquid. Mishabura remains as a question. So he suggests in that situation, you're just going to a little sip, better not to drink, because then you get a suffolk bracha, or have somebody else be moed to you who didn't drink, or make a shahakol on a candy.
Could you explain that again?
So a person goes to the Kiddush, and the rabbi says, Brei Pri HaGafen. So he drinks, you know, a significant amount of the wine or the grape juice, and that. So now he afterwards has a cup of soda. He makes no bracha on the soda. The Brei Pri HaGafen that he said on the wine covers the soda. I'm sitting next to him, and he pours out a little drop for me, and I drink that drop. So I said a Brei Pri HaGafen. I drank a little bit of wine, but it was that significant enough that the soda afterwards is considered secondary and does not require a bracha. That's questionable. So, in that situation, it's questionable. So, what do you do? So, you should say a shahakal and a candy. Have somebody else who didn't, you know, say, should help you fulfill your obligation of a shahakal.
But if you're at a suda and you're not, and you're about to make kamotzi over the whole meal?
Right, so then it's not a problem. You know, the only problem is you're going to have a drink, right? You know, you're having a separate, you know, you want to use it to cover your other drinks. From Chaim Kalievsky in his Chubas, he says that the minig is even less than a Brei Pri, even a little bit would be sufficient. So in the case you don't have another option, you would rely on that, and that would be sufficient. In regards to bracha achrona, in that situation, you're not making a bracha achrona on the wine, because you didn't have enough to make a bracha achrona on, so then you'd have to make a Brei Nefoshes on the soda.
Could you translate that?
The last thing I just said?
Yeah.
Okay, so in a situation where a person just had that little drop,
yeah.
if you have no other option, you have nothing else, you don't have a candy or something to make a shahakol on, so you can rely on the Brei Pri HaGafen, you set it for the wine, counts for the soda.
Right.
Now it comes to the end, I have to say an after blessing. So the after blessing for soda is Brei Nefoshes.
Oh, okay.
But if you had enough wine, you would make an after blessing for the wine, and that would be sufficient to cover the soda also. But I'm not going to, because I only had a little drop of the wine. So then you make a Brei Nefoshes as the after blessing for the soda, and that's sufficient. Okay, so that's the Iker and Tuffel. That's the Harmotzi. The one other area which it comes, an interesting question comes at the end of the meal, is making a mezonos at the end on dessert. So really, theoretically, the correct bracha on dessert, whether the dessert is, would be, he gets his own bracha, including mezonos. A person has a cake at the end of the meal, they should say mezonos on it. It's not part of the meal, it's part of it's like a snack. However, and there's a strong however over here, we don't do that. However, we do do it sometimes. So what do I mean? All right, I'm going to tell you the why is a little more complicated. If you're eating something which has three characteristics of mezonos to it. Number one, it's a flaky type of a dough. Crackers are a flaky type of a dough. A flaky type of a dough, but it's not a cracker, because a cracker, it's flaky, but it doesn't have a lot of other ingredients in it. It has a lot of other ingredients in the dough. Oil, sugar, etc. And there's a filling. So if you picture a pie, the dough is flaky, there's a lot of oil in the dough, and it also it has a filling to it. There's a top and a bottom, there's a filling inside. Then you make a bracha. So it meets all three criteria of what's defined as possible bakisnin. The three criteria are flaky, a lot of other ingredients in the dough, and there's a filling. So if it meets all three criteria, you would make a mezonos. So a person has an apple, a double, you know, layered apple pie. It has a top and a bottom, not an open face apple pie. Double it, you would make a mezonos when you eat it for dessert.
Oh, what about ice cream? Because it's like liquid, but it's frozen, so now it's not so liquidy. But you're saying not to make an extra bracha on dessert.
No, I said mezonos.
Mezonos, that's
for mezonos,
right?
Right. Ice cream, shahakal, candy, ice cream, chocolates, all the things, you would make a shahakal on them. You would. If you're eating ice cream with your pie, so the ice cream is a tuffle to the pie. So that would be a different story. Let me finish this thought. So if it meets all three criteria, then you make a even though it's a mazonos, you make a mazonos at the end of the meal. If you're having a piece of cake at the end of the meal, you do not make a mazonos. You just eat the cake.
It's frosting.
The filling needs to be inside.
Inside. If you're still hungry, right? You had a meal and you're still hungry, and you're eating your mazonos. And not just for dessert, but because you're hungry, then you don't make a bracha on it. That's part of the meal. So that's somewhat complicated. But the only scenario you're making is a pie, tarts, those type of things. A and B, it's you're not eating it for hunger purposes. You're eating it just for kinuah suda. Interesting question at the end of the meal is: do you make a bracha on coffee or tea at the end of the meal? Is it considered secondary to the meal? So normally we consider the liquid during the meal is considered secondary to the bread. Person has a coffee or tea at the end of the meal, they have it because you know they like having something that helps settle their stomach. That's called it helps the digestion. That's not considered secondary to the bread. So if it's a Shabbos meal and you made a brepir gofen at the beginning of the meal, your brepir gofen covers your shahakel for the liquid at the end of the meal. It's on a Tuesday. And you're doing that, so you didn't do that. So Shabura says, and he would suggest in that situation to take something which is a shahakal, like and make a shahakal like a candy or a piece of sugar. You know, the sugar cubes, right? You know, Shabura's picturing the sugar cubes, right? You know, you take a little bit of sugar, make a bracha shahakal on the sugar, and then have your coffee or tea.
But I thought the Rav said at the beginning of this year that you shouldn't do that scenario. You shouldn't take something just to make the bracha, because then it's almost like a bracha levatoa.
Okay, it's a good question. So the specific case I said at the beginning of the meal was a person is using hamotzi to cover all of the foods, not really interested in the hamotzi. My problem with there was that hamotzi covers all the foods only when everything is secondary to the hamotzi. If your goal of hamotzi is that it should be secondary to everything else, so then it doesn't cover everything else. That was the challenge I presented at the beginning of the. And generally, in a case where you have a subic bracha, you can have something which you're going to eat and enjoy, right? And you're doing it in order to address. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I might correct myself. I think what you meant to say was that aloha. You don't know what to do. You have to ask the rabbi, right, before you eat. That's what you meant, right? Right, so it's a fair question. In other words, over here, there's no clear halacha. We don't have a clear halacha stance. So you ask the rabbi, and the rabbi says, "I don't know." Then you're allowed to use this other scenario, right? Because you did yours. I did mine also. I asked Mr. Burr. Mr. Burr said he doesn't know either. So Mr. Burr says that he suggests in that situation, you know, you take the sugar cube and his, you know, bite a little bit of sugar, say a shahakal and the sugar cube, eat a little bit. So we probably don't eat sugar cubes nowadays. You have to look very hard to find them still in the older generation. And but a piece of candy, something of that sort. That would be the best thing. We get Shabbos, it's not an issue. Because the brepir gofen, you said at the beginning of the meal, covers all your liquids and it covers your tea at the end of the meal also. So I guess theoretically you could do that in the middle of the meal also, or in the week also. Take out some grape juice and make a brepir gofen. Grape juice always gets wine or grape juice always gets a brepir gofen, eat in the middle of a meal. You always have to make a brepir gofen on, so that would be, and that covers all the liquids. Interesting question. Whiskey. Not that nobody ever hears. You know, just in case you want to know about what. Right, in case somebody would, you know that. So we assume whiskey is considered secondary. A person would be drinking whiskey specifically not to be part of the meal because they enjoy whiskey and they want to have some whiskey to, you know, enjoy the intoxication of whiskey. Whiskey, we get his own bracha. It's not considered tuffel to the bread. Ask any person who doesn't appear, and they say for sure it's not helpful to the bread. Anyway, okay, okay, let's hold it here. Bezdem, the next year is going to be in a while, because of the way Shavuos always one of those things play out. Yeah, just one second, just bear with me. I think, if I recall correctly, the next year is actually scheduled for June 30th. Okay, if I recall correctly, that's the way it came out. But watch for your listserv and your signs just to make sure, because it might be earlier. Don't trust my memory on anything. Yeah.